On the way here this morning, one of the children said, "Dad, we've not been hungry since we got here." And another one said, "Oh, to feel some hunger pains." Oh, it's really been a blessing. We've so enjoyed the fellowship and just being around the family of God. No matter where you go, anywhere in this world, there's the family of God, and they all cook good. Amen. But we really are thankful. We're thankful for the hospitality and Tim and Jenny. And I just want to say that, and I'll say that also, that they're home and just gave us the run of the place, and we really thank them for that. And I think Rebecca's becoming they're striking up a friendship here that will last for a long time. Amen. And so that's great. We this morning we've got several things that we want to do, and just hopefully they'll all be interest and a blessing to you. We'll sing in just a moment, and then I want to introduce a little bit about the DVD that we have this morning, which is a little bit different, and I hope that you'll get something out of it as you see it. That always invokes curiosity, doesn't it, when you say a little bit different? Okay. What we're going to do, there's been a request for, I guess, the girls to do a number, and then so they'll do a quick number playing, and just Ann and Rachel, and then the kids can come up and sing, and we'll just do it in that order, okay, afterwards. So they're going to do, I think, a song called Medley of Praise, and you'll recognize some of the songs in there about praising the Lord, some of the old hymns, so I'll let them play. Thank you.
the rest of them will come up.
It's in the morning time, so I'm going to let them sing a little bit, maybe more upbeat song of old hymns to keep you awake. And so after a good breakfast like that, you know, I think we need a little bit more. So they're going to sing a medley of old songs that begins with about heaven, actually. And so if you'll...
Some years back, as I gave in the testimony yesterday morning, we were at Victory Baptist Church in Sylvan, North Carolina, which is the mountains of North Carolina. And when Mary and I got married, and I got married, we moved to the mountains, and we sure enjoyed it there. You could kind of walk off the deck there, or walk on the deck and look out across the valley, and it was so beautiful. And the Lord led us for a while around a Christian school. I was the administrator of a Christian school right across the highway. I could walk right down to it if I wanted to. And Mary taught there. It was really interesting because we had just been married for just a little time, maybe. And Mary's a teacher by trade. She had taught some years before we got married. And then I became the administrator of the school. So we were the only married couple. So we are the ones that taught family living, you know. So, you know, that's how it is with Christian schools, you know, whatever you're qualified to do. And so I guess being married qualified us for that. We needed that book because we didn't know that within just a few years we'd have a whole house for ourselves. Amen. And but we thank the Lord for that. But as people would come by and begin to talk about missions and so forth, the Lord began to burn in our hearts. And
You know, God uses so many things to direct you, and it's so wonderful, isn't it? If we're just open to what God has in our life, it is just so wonderful. Isn't it wonderful to serve the Lord? I mean, and just be open to what God has for you. The blessings of meeting the people of God and doing whatever God has. And so people would come by and they would preach and teach, and we would go home. I remember one time a man came by and he taught a message about the lepers in, I think it's 2 Kings, and how that they were sitting outside of Samaria, and they made this famous statement in the Bible, "Why sit we here until we die?" I don't know if you remember that in the Word. And they went in, and of course they were able to find the army fled and had surrounded Samaria and so forth. But anyway, and we went home, we would go home and we would sit there and go, "Mary, why sit here with you? We die, you know, let's do something." And everything that, when God has some, by the way, when God calls you and has a call on your life or wants you to do anything in particular, it doesn't necessarily mean to go somewhere, but it, whatever he has, everything you hear is going to be in that context. I mean, you know, the person can be standing up preaching on tithing and you're going to get this out of it. You know, it's just, God's not going to leave you alone about that. Aren't you glad about that? And so some way we got that. And finally, I can remember what really did it was, our pastor was coming home from Orlando, Florida, and he had his message prepared for Sunday morning. And the Lord was just dealing with his heart about another scripture. And he began studying it out. And he said this, and he didn't tell me this, but he said this on the plane. He said, "Lord, if I preach this message, I'm going to lose my associate pastor and the principal of the school." And the name of the message is, "If God has called you, what are you doing here?" You know, and he preached it. And I can remember sitting there that day thinking, "Wow, Lord, that's a great message. Maybe the best one I've ever heard him preach." But I wasn't really applying it to my own life. And when I went down to help people at the invitation and so forth in a wonderful church, God just smote my heart. And I remember telling the Lord that day, "Lord, whatever, God, we want to get busy and do whatever you have us to do." I walked out the door and the pastor took a look at me and he had tears in his eyes. He said, "I knew it." And he just hugged me and I said, "Pastor, we got to go." And he said, "I know." And that was our call. Okay, that was what God was wanting us to do. And so we prepared. The International Board of Jewish Missions, we had been in touch with. And IBJM, just to tell you a little bit more about it. And in the morning, by the way, we're going to be teaching in the Sunday morning adult class. And basically going to be going through why we're in Jewish evangelism from the Word of God. And we hope that'll be a blessing to you. And that'll be in the first hour. But we began to make plans of going and visiting IBJM. We did that. They're located in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We went over there for a 4-day focus, which they have every year, and they focus on Jewish evangelism. What attracted us in particular, and there are other good organizations also that's reaching out to the Jewish people, and our contact with IBJM over the years, and I liked it because of the emphasis on the local church. And I think I've always said that once from this pulpit, but I want to say it again. I think all things should be done in and through and with the local church, because that's where, when people get saved, where are you going to send them? And you need to be right into that local church. And so we thank the Lord for that emphasis. So we went over there and we began to talk with IBJM. And then God used some miraculous things that you're going to see on the, and this introduces to DVD here. As we began praying about it, we were really wanting to go to Australia. We thought, wow, that'd be a great country to go to. And so, you know, down under and, you know, and the opera house thing and all that, you know. But the Lord didn't have plans on that. On the year that we had really looked at Australia, another family came to IBJM and said, "We really believe God wants us to go to Australia," and they're in Sydney right now serving the Lord. But so we're like, okay, well, where do we go? You know, and one thing about the Lord is that he answers every question like that, and many times, at least given time. And what happened was that we received a letter through a man. I gave this testimony yesterday morning. We received a letter. And the letter was from Johannesburg, South Africa. It was from a BIMI missionary who was there who had a burden for the Jewish people. And he wrote IBJM and he said, "Is there some help that we can have here? We need literature and so forth." And so they emailed him back, or they wrote him back, and they said, "Yes, we'll send literature so that you can witness to the Jewish people there."
There was a Jewish population there in Johannesburg, around 60,000 at that time, 100,000 in the whole country. We didn't know that Jewish people existed in South Africa at that point. And so they forwarded the letter on to us. That was written by a man named Dr. Howard. Now, Dr. Howard is a Southern Georgian guy. And when you hear him on this DVD, you're going to recognize this Southern Georgia accent. But he's a wonderful man of God and a great scholar of the Word. And we thank the Lord for that. He sent us this letter, and we contacted him, and through a series of events, finally what happened, we realized that we were from the same church that Mary and I met at. Isn't that incredible? And so we were able to get together, and God used that, and we made a trip to South Africa, and we were able to see that that was where God wanted us, and we thanked the Lord. This DVD is about 17 minutes long. Let me make a little something here. It was made by a Jewish guy in our church in South Africa as a going away present to us. It was about the 5 short years that we were there. And this guy's really a professional in his field as far as he's a commercials producer. It was 28 minutes long, and a non-professional named Ned Frampton got a hold of this thing. And I cut it down to 17 minutes. So anytime you see something jump, don't blame Jonathan, okay? It was me, okay, in trying to edit this thing down a little bit. And so there is a little bit of that. But we want you to see it. He begins this thing by showing how we came. And what I want you to get out of this is several things. Number one, how that God can use, our sovereign God can use his word and his will to bring together his will for you and your life, and how he did for us. And then secondly, I want you to see in this video that God has all kinds of people that need to be reached for the gospel. You know, not just all around the world. And we really wanted to go to a more rural area and where there were a lot of children and things like that. And that was a hard and there is a great need for that. But God had a group of unusual people that needed a church. And we went there and we worked for a couple of years, and we did have a wonderful time of working with the black children there in the townships, and that work is going on. You'll see the pastor in just a few minutes on there. And then the Lord had this other group of people that were Jewish and Gentile, and they were searching for a place where they could have a church near to them in a Jewish neighborhood to have an outreach to the Jew. And God just used things to work that and to make that come together for them. And so when you look at these people on the video, you're going to see normal people. It's like he said, they're not lizards, they're not whatever, but they're just normal people needing and really thanking God for a church. Because they just didn't have one right there that day, you know. And so what you're going to hear a lot on this DVD is how much they thank the Lord for New Covenant Baptist Church. And it for us, it was so exciting to be part of this, for God to allow us to be part of this. And I want you to see that day. And so this was really meant as kind of a going away thing. So they're almost saying goodbye in this thing. So it's the only thing we have, but we want to show you. And there's several people, there are a lot of the folks that you'll see on the DVD that were saved as a part of the ministry. And I'll talk about that. A real sweet Indian family where the husband and all 3 of the children, you'll see them lined up with the son sitting in the middle. And they're giving their testimonies of how they come to know the Lord and were discipled through the Word. And we thank the Lord for that. We went there to win the Jews to Christ, and we did. We were able to see Jewish people come to the Lord. But wow, what sweet Gentiles, too, that God had waiting there that we needed to know the Lord, too. And we thank the Lord for that. So we'll just show that right now. At the very beginning of this, Jonathan comes to me and they had these little things falling down. And what they're meant to be and what they are is actually seeds. And what he was trying to show, if you ever see the seeds that are like fucking falling, he was trying to show how a lot of times when you go to a field and you start planting the seeds of the gospel one by one and reaping pieces and seeds. And
we're evangelizing and dropping them trunk. We have doing a lot of Jewish tracts that we have been using and dropping into to the Jewish areas. And I contacted Dr. Bennett with IBJ, the National Board of Jewish Missions, and I asked him did they have anybody that was, you know, might be interested in coming to South Africa.
The board forwarded that letter on to me, and we read it, and we were surprised that there would be a significant Jewish population on the continent of Africa. And so we began doing some investigation and then praying about it. So we contacted the source of that letter, which was Dr. Howard. And interesting enough,
me and Aaron had been in the same church years earlier,
and we knew all the same people. It's very interesting. Just one of those kind of things that God puts together.
I thought, well, you all this work in the background with you, since you're trained in Jewish missions, and this is the way that they come out here, and this is the way that you come, got started.
When we decided to do the survey trip, Dr. Howard helped us on this end, and we did that survey trip in 1999. And came here, and I came by myself because our last child was born at that time. And I came out, Dr. Howard and another gentleman showed us around the city and showed us the Jewish areas. And interesting enough, we didn't really see a lot of Jewish people that day. Discouraging, but as we went through the week and we ministered and we held several meetings, by the time we got to the end of that week, through prayer and just with the Lord, I just realized that this was just where God was going to have us minister.
When we left, I told him, I said, well, just go ahead and go back and inform Mary that the Lord done led you to South Africa.
When we arrived in 2001, beginning of 2001, we had made arrangements to begin working with Brother Howard, and he had a few months before had opened up a small storefront and wanted to begin a church over in the Barney East area. So we just joined in with him, and together we worked together and divided the services up in visitation. We just began trying to get that church established. It's Tabernacle Baptist Church. For the first 2 years, it was just a great blessing. We worked in the church there, and we did a lot of work among the young people and the youth and the children, and it was a great, great time. It helped us, and it helped working together with another missionary brother to get feet on the ground here and begin to see the burden was so great in this country and so many people.
Was able to teach and Sister Mary teach the kids, and it was lovely. And the ministry was very good, was growing because we've got a lot of people there, and they so encouraged us. That's why I sit under Pastor S teaching and Dr. Howard's teaching, and I started to learn a lot.
And so, as we went through the first 2 years, we became aware that there was a real need for a church in an area where the Jewish people would come.
And so I told them, we checked the Bible, several buildings, and we said, well, why not the Lord just directed us back to Jerusalem?
The meeting of David, DeBrain, and I it was incredible. We had just arrived in South Africa, and we were in a little two-room apartment in the Palma. And we received a message.
I entered into the search engine Jewish Missions, and up came this International Board of Jewish Missions website. I didn't know who they were, but I saw that they were seemed to be similar to what I believed. And I contacted them. I emailed them to say, do you have any representatives in South Africa?
Now, this was only a couple of days after we had arrived, so the timing was incredible.
And then we set up a time to meet. We met East Gate, and it was our first meeting, and we just began to talk. And so we immediately sensed that we were of one
met for some coffee, and we spoke. At the end of that conversation that day, I told David, I said, David, I truly believe one day we'll be working together.
I kind of wanted it to happen immediately, but the Lord had different plans.
But when it came time to start the church, New Covenant, I contacted David and said, David, would you be interested in helping us to begin this church? And he said, I sure would. New Covenant Baptist Church, the beginning of that has showed us how much that a person can just fall in love with a group of people and a church. There is a spirit in New Covenant, a spirit of unity and love, and it's just growing in there. And so, although it's difficult for us to leave this work at this time, we see God's hand and the fact that God has started this work and how it's going to grow, and also how the outreach among the Jewish people is just beginning.
Really. God led me to the New Covenant Baptist Church, which had newly begun a few years ago, and there were a handful of people there. It's been a joy that it has grown so amazingly under the leadership of a very, very special person and a very special family who provided us with an example that we just so appreciate. They are Christ-filled, and they all know that they've got a printed place, and that's just such a joy to us.
People really enjoyed the music, the teaching.
Have you been born again? If you've not been born again, and God has sent us all the way here, and He sent others to tell you you can do it today.
And children play especially, and especially now, the Lost Testament. It was too wonderful because they are really blessed us with so many songs they are singing. And they could always be in my ear, and I just pray. And somehow we could get the tape or something that we can listen and always be with them, like in the chapel.
Thank you for everybody. You know, they've done so much in our lives. And, you know, as far as our Christian walk with the Lord is, you know, I went to go meet Pastor Ed, which I think is great, because he's in the same lounge. Instead of discussing business ideas, he got me saved. He smiled. Sense of humor.
Love
that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah,
just sort of falling asleep and come on.
And it's been really a blessing in the sense that our all three children got saved under the ministry. And my husband.
So I have enjoyed Pastor Ed's company and the children and Mary as well. And it's been such a blessing in my spiritual life as well. You know, they set up discipleship for me with Dave when I first got saved. And they've always just been there, you know, to support me spiritually, you know, to give me advice and things like that. So I really appreciate that. I remember always appreciated that.
The Franklins have been a big encouragement to us, even especially the children for me, and Anna and Rachel. Anna has been a really big example. She showed me how to get saved. She helped me through that. And she went through discipleship with me.
Mary is very nice, and she's very loving and caring, and she knows like what to do and stuff. And I also want to say that she's been able to get like saved and stuff in church.
It's because it's the solid word of God that we've been able to apply to show every aspect of our lives to Missy. How many CDs we've thrown out, you know? And it's awesome. We're changing, and it's because of God. It's not because of Ed or anybody else. It's because of God. Yeah.
And then we asked us if we were saved, and we thought we were saved.
Yeah, we thought we were saved. But yeah. After, because you know, in the church where we fought, we believed we were saved, and it was like, we weren't really saved, but until Pastor Ed kind of started. The more you're around Pastor Ed, the more you start, I'm not saved. And it's just like that conviction, it's like, you got to do something about it.
But I must say, with the support from Ed and Mary, and with their guidance, and and just teaching me how important church and family structure is. I can successfully say Joshua sits in a church service now, and it's also a big encouragement that when he comes home, he's saying, I've decided to follow Jesus.
Found it at New Covenant, there was a warmth, but there wasn't a neglect of my soul. The preaching I said the first Sunday, I felt it was like God to direct it towards my condition. And there was the admonition, there was the things that I needed, the discipline that I needed. And sometimes just those things that were said to me that I needed more than anything else.
Well, personally, I believe it's been a milestone in my life, changing up. I was feeling very discouraged. And I tell you, there's been a revival in my heart. It's a huge big impact. The Lord has restored my joy of salvation.
It's just wonderful to see your kids praying and even trying to sing the Sunday school songs and seeing them bringing their Sunday school work back. And it's been the biggest blessing for me, just seeing how my kids have grown. And personally, I know as well, I feel such joy when I go there, which I haven't felt for.
I don't know, the church just feels like a real family. I mean, my own family that's not even saved, it's not as special as Pastor Ed's family in the church means to us.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another.
Liz felt immediately it was the right place, immediately without hope.
The fact that Brendan truly came to salvation in this church and has been baptized there, I cried that day when I saw my child being baptized by Ed.
He's been an example to me, and seeing the true joy in their eyes and the jealousy that provoked me to, the reason I was saved.
Of course, the first was Shannon's salvation, which was obviously a key moment for us. And that was a remarkable time, and it wasn't terribly long after that. Jesse got saved and came and he grabbed the dog by the ears and said, Mikey, I got saved today.
Especially not the one Sunday when not his Uncle David preached on the whole armor of God.
One thing that's really struck me is the enthusiasm and how excited people are about God. That's something you just don't see. A genuine enthusiasm. Genuine
finding
satisfaction in God. This has been amazing.
Surely this church has been the second best gift God has ever given. I praise Him and I thank Him for it.
I think He's taught me to, number one, not to fear man, to follow God in all that you do, to make sure that you're God-centered in why you do what you do, what you do it for. He's taught me to just love people, to truly want to spend and be spent for people, to really love the people that you work with and love them for the Lord's sake. And He's taught me to really seek to be spirit controlled, to want to have a living relationship with the Lord that manifests itself in every moment, not just in the preaching, not just in the theological knowledge, but in the everyday parts of life.
We didn't know that we would necessarily be here for this time and then would be leaving to take something else God would have for us. But I'll tell you this, we believe as we look back across the time that God has done a work that will go on because it was born of God and not of man. And we thank the Lord for that.
In many ways, New Covenant Baptist Church is, to me, the realization of something which I longed for a long time, a church which had both love and truth, which was both God-centered and warm, that had a love for the Lord and a love for its people, that placed holiness on a high pedestal, at the same time was welcoming and accommodating and understanding.
So we leave, although we leave with a heavy heart in parting from these folk, because we loved them with all of our hearts, we part with great joy in knowing that God is going to be working here as well as where we're going. And together, even in the future, if the Lord tarries, the ministry to the Jew can be fulfilled here in South Africa through a local church in the middle of a Jewish neighborhood that has Jews and Gentiles worshiping together and showing that, yes, this is what a New Testament church is supposed to be.
There's so many things to be thankful for. There's so many things to say. But it's New Covenant Baptist Church is quite simply the best church I've ever been in. And it's because of what the Lord has done. And I'm glad and thrilled to serve in it, and it's a privilege to be a part of it.
Now, there is a tremendous work here in South Africa that needs to be done. The fields are ripe in the harvest, in all areas, in the townships and among the people there and the native South African. What a need there is for churches and for people to come and for pastors, such a need. But there's also a great need for the harvest among the Jewish people. And what and the fact that it seems like their hearts are opening more and more, and this is a real tight-knit community. So I'm praying that God will send more to replace us here and to come and to continue on the ministry among the Jewish people here in South Africa.
Take just a moment to get the lights up, but that'll be fine. I'm thankful for what God has done. Where's Mrs. Sachs? I bet you recognize some people in there, didn't you? Amen. Okay, Peter and Hendrina. Okay, that's wonderful. So, how many remember Peter and Hendrina? Does anybody here remember? Okay, maybe it was too long ago. That was the couple that were sitting there where the lady said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." You had love one for another. So they were greatly blessed us with their presence in the church. And they were how I met Dr. and Mrs. Sachs. You say, "Well, how did you end up here in Michigan at this conference?" You know, because we really don't know anybody, you know, up here. And we're glad to be here, but the Lord has His divine appointments. And we were in Johannesburg, and Peter and Tandrina called me one day, and they said, "You remember I told you about Dr. and Miss Sachs?" And I said, "Yes." And they're here, you know, "Can you come over for lunch?" And so we had a scheduled time. We went over and had lunch with them. And what a blessing that was. There were also a couple other families. I'll just tell you this, and I know it's getting right at the time to go, but there were some other blessings that we had. We had a family came in, and I asked them, "Did you ever hear of the Sachs, Dr. Miss Sachs?" And you might have seen on the couch, they were sitting there, and they were saying, "I've had a revival in my heart." And you remember that family? Well, they said, "Oh, yes, we remember the Sachs. And the day that they were with us and Dr. Sachs was preaching, it was such a blessing. But one of our children had this allergic reaction, and he had to do the sound system, and he couldn't wear shoes. And we were so concerned that Dr. Sachs was going to say something about that." You know, it was such a blessing, but they really enjoyed. So it's so thankful. But the church is going on well for the Lord. We have now that David DeBrain, who you saw on several times, has taken over the church, him and his wife. His wife is from Minnesota, and God put them together. And I just want to give you this. I was sitting there thinking, you know, how God can take and move you to where He wants you to be. The Bible says this: if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will what? Give you the desires of your heart. And I was sitting there as I was watching this video, and I can honestly say as I watched that, wow, God gave us the desires of our hearts. As we followed the Lord and tried to just be instruments in His hands, God made the appointments to get us to where we were to be, and He fulfilled a great longing in our heart. God puts longings in people's heart. I believe that God can use people in any realm of business or anything. But let me tell you something. When God begins to work in your heart about different things, you need to be open as to what God has for you. Because He may want to change you. We were trained to be in business. I went to Furman University and got a degree in business. And I didn't understand that because I believed that God was directing me by the Lord leading into the ministry way back then. And all of a sudden, God changed our direction and put me in business. I didn't understand that. I graduated from Furman in business and got out of there. And I wanted to be a Christian businessman for God. And for several years, the Lord allowed me to do that. And He would run Jewish people across my path, even in the factory. And it was so wonderful. God has a way of taking you and getting you to where you're supposed to be. I remember just having this desire and God using this in our life. And I was sitting working in my office one day, and all of a sudden a Jewish guy walks into my office and he says, his name was Jeff, and he says, "How can you be so happy when our factory is going to pieces and things were going wrong?" And I told him, I said, "It's because of what happened to me when I was 17 years old." And I gave this testimony the other day. And I was able, through that connection, to witness to that Jewish person. And God opened up those doors. So God can use you in any way. But this is what I'm trying to say in these few minutes is this. When God begins to work then in your life, in your heart, you need to listen. Because God began to now put a discontent in my heart for just being there and in the role that I was in at that point. I knew there was something that God wanted me to do that was different. And it wasn't anything necessarily better. It was just different what God wanted me to do. And I can remember going home and thinking, "Wow, Lord, what is it?" And sitting up beneath the Word and studying His Word and God speaking to my heart. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to guide us out of business and back into the ministry. And the Lord began to open these fields. And I stood on that deck in North Carolina, and I said this, "Mary, there's no way that I'll ever be a missionary." And don't you remember me saying that, Mary? "There's no way." I said, "You got to go to school to train to be a missionary. You got to know other missionaries." And I named a whole bunch of reasons why I could never be a missionary or we could never go to the mission field. And then I come to realize that God doesn't really go by our excuses or our rules. And it came to grips with the fact that He would open the doors. And the Lord used tremendous ways to open the doors to begin as we began our deputation and we began raising funds. And we were actually on the field in such a short time that it just surprised us. Another desire of our heart, now listen carefully, was that we could serve the Lord together as a family. And I remember meeting with a missionary one time and before we went to the field, and he had been on the mission field down in Mexico for 35 years. And he said this, he said, "Ed, Mary," we went out to lunch, he said, "Wherever God uses you, don't lose your family. Make sure that you keep the focus and your children, are there with you." And he gave us some different examples of how back in years when he had served God and how that he had made some mistakes and he had tears in his eyes. And he says, "I would have done it differently. And I believe my children would have been serving God greater had we just done it differently." And boy, our hearts were broken that day when we left. Remember, Mary? And we said, "Lord God, our heart's desire is that you'll use this ministry to bring our children not only to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but also that they might give them a heart for God. And we might serve the Lord together." We had no idea. This is what we imagined what was going to happen in Johannesburg. We was going to go there. We was going to be behind these walls. I was going to go out, get really busy, and we were praying, "Lord, please don't let that happen. Let us serve you together." And all of a sudden, when we got there, God opened up the door for a Jewish man that we met. And he said, "I know where you guys can serve the Lord together as a family." And they said, "Where?" And they said, at the Jewish, it's like a Jewish retirement center, about 40% Jewish. And said, "You can go there and be a blessing." And so we went there, and you saw that was the place where I was saying, you must be born again, remember? That wasn't at the church. That was at the retirement center. And those folk that they were zooming up on were Jewish people. And they were listening to the gospel. But they weren't listening to the gospel because we just came in there and I opened up the Bible. They were listening to the gospel because we had sang about three or four songs before that. And the children had sang and got up. And we were able to use God to use us together as a family. It wasn't planned. It was just how God brought it together. So God, when we follow God, God fulfills the desires of our heart, Lord, just right what we would have. And the desires that are not pleasing to God, He changes so that He can fulfill the desires that He has put in our heart. And what a blessing that is. And so what is my challenge this morning? My challenge to you and to all of us this morning and to me, even in these days, is to continue to yield to the Holy Spirit of God and to the Word of God as He leads you and guides you. And you'll never regret it because He'll fulfill the very things in your life that you desire. And what a blessing to look back on that. One thing that the Lord really smote our heart about was this. Lord, I want my life to count more for eternity. I see that there's value in what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis. But God, let everything I do count for eternity. Turn my heart more toward eternity. And the Lord fulfilled that desire and began to focus us more into more and more ministry. And God can do the same for every one of us. Amen. And He fulfills that desire. So I want to read that verse to you, if you would. Let's just turn there and then we'll close. OK, Psalms 37. Sorry. 30. And verse number 4. I got that wrong guy. 34. I've got to mix up. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. There it is. 37. Thank you. Let me read from the verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Isn't that good? So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Can't stop there. Look at verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Isn't that wonderful? Not us, but Him. And what a wonderful exhortation if we'll just trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, and commit our way to the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. And what He did in South Africa, we are just rejoicing. And now we're in a whole nother realm of work back here, and we're trusting the Lord for what He has for the future. We don't see how God, again, can necessarily match up all this thing about serving the Lord as a family, but He's doing it. We're here today, and we're serving the Lord together, and we want you to pray for us that we can continue to do that. But as we serve the Lord with IBJM, we pray that the Lord will continue to use us. And I want to challenge you before we pray is this. There's a great number of Jewish people all around in different cities and different countries. And there is such a need for them for somebody to come in love with the Word of God and reach them with the Word. And He will bring it to pass. And if God is laying on your heart that particular ministry, it's not a mistake that God brings you to a particular church that has an emphasis on Jewish missions. That's not a mistake. And if God is dealing with anyone's heart about that, boy, we would love to be able to help you. And pray that God will bring that to pass in your life. Somebody was telling me a little earlier this week that there's a tremendous Jewish population right around here. That there are so many Jewish folk. And so you need to begin to pray and say, God, you put a desire in my heart to reach a Jewish person for Christ. Bring one across my path. And you know what God will do? I guarantee you, he'll do it. There's not a Jewish person, hardly, in the mountains of North Carolina. And before we left for Johannesburg, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to Johannesburg to reach the Jews, and I've not even had any around here I could talk to much. So I said, Lord, would you send one by? I prayed that. And you know what happened? I drove home one night and we got there about 5 o'clock in the morning. Back home, we were on deputation, and the phone rang about 6. And it was a person from the church who was a deputy sheriff. And he said this. He said, Ed, I got somebody here I need you to speak to. And I said, okay. And it got off, and the guy on the other went, hello. And I said, you're not from the mountains of North Carolina. And he said, no, I am Israeli. And he said, I am down here in Silva. Now, this is in the middle of the mountains. And he said, I am down here in Silva. And this policeman said, you could help me. And I said, what? He said, well, I got some problems and I need some help. And I said, okay. And so I met this man, and we were supposed to eat lunch. And we sat in the car for 3 hours and never got to lunch. And his name was Itai. And he started telling me all of his problems that he had ran into. And I pointed him to the Word of God. And he said, you know what? He said, I had heard about this, and I've heard about Jesus, and I'd like to hear more about it. And so we met like that over a series of a few weeks. And you know what happened? One day he told me in the car, he said, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. But you know what? That's not enough. And I said, well, that's good, Itai. I'm glad you believe Jesus is the Messiah, but you need to trust him. And so, you know what happened? About a week later, the phone rang. And this is just before we went to South Africa. And the phone rang, and it was Itai. And he said, I have something to tell you. And I said, what? He said, I have trusted him. In the mountains of North Carolina, where you got to search to find a Jewish person, God ran one right across our path. And he said, I trusted him as my Savior. And when we were trying to get on the plane to go to South Africa, he had our car blocked in our driveway. And we're trying to get to the airport. And he said, I have one more question to ask you. And Itai is still serving God, and God's doing a work. God can open up the door. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you, God, for all that you do. Lord, we know that the gospel is to all. And Father, Lord, God, we thank you for the ones that you have used here in this church to be so wonderfully used to reach others for Christ and the mission program and the heart that you've given them to reach out. But Father God, Lord, we know, God, that there are so many more, Lord. Father God, would I pray that you'll make each one of us here, Lord God, greater soul winners, God, greater witnesses, that is, to spread the seed of the gospel. I pray, God, that if it would please you, Lord, in this group, that if you would pull those aside that would be interested in going directly to the people that you used in such a great way, Father God, Lord, that now need the Savior, the Jew, I pray, God, please. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll work in our hearts. Help us to delight ourselves in you. Thank you for fulfilling our desires, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name.